Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, 50 Ways to Rewire Your Anxious Brain Simple Skills to Soothe Anxiety and Create New Neural Pathways to Calm by Catherine M. Pittman PhD is a practical mental health guide in the neuroscience-informed self-help category. It distills anxiety management into short, usable skills designed for readers who want concrete ways to reduce panic, fear, worry, and rumination. The book builds on Pittman's established explanation of anxiety as a brain-based process shaped by two major pathways: rapid emotional reactions associated with the amygdala and thought-based anxiety associated with the cortex. Its purpose is not simply to describe anxiety, but to give readers repeated practices that can weaken anxious habits and strengthen calmer responses. The approach is accessible rather than technical, but it keeps attention on brain mechanisms, learning, and neuroplasticity. It is best understood as a skills manual that combines education, body calming methods, exposure principles, and cognitive strategies into manageable steps. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the amygdala and cortex model separates instinctive fear from anxious thinking. A central contribution of the book is its use of a two-pathway explanation for anxiety. Pittman distinguishes between anxiety that emerges quickly through the amygdala and anxiety that develops through cortical processes such as interpretation, prediction, worry, and rumination. This distinction matters because many readers experience anxiety as confusing or irrational. A person may intellectually know that a situation is safe while still feeling a racing heart, muscle tension, or an urge to escape. The amygdala pathway explains why the body can react before conscious reasoning catches up. By contrast, cortex-based anxiety explains why repetitive thoughts, imagined catastrophes, and mental checking can keep anxiety active even when no immediate threat is present. The practical value of this framework is that it prevents a one-size-fits-all approach. Bodily fear responses usually require calming, exposure, and new associations, while worry often requires attention shifting, cognitive reframing, and limits on rumination. The model also reduces self-blame by presenting anxiety as a learned brain process rather than a character weakness. Secondly, neuroplasticity turns anxiety management into repeated brain training. The book's title emphasizes rewiring because its methods depend on neuroplasticity, the brain's capacity to change through repeated experience. Pittman presents anxiety as a pattern that can become efficient through use, much like any learned habit. If a person repeatedly avoids feared situations, rehearses catastrophic thoughts, or scans the body for danger, those patterns can become easier for the brain to activate. The reverse is also possible. Repeated calming practices, new interpretations, and tolerating discomfort can make calmer pathways more available. This principle gives the book its structure as a collection of brief skills rather than a single insight or theory. The reader is encouraged to practice consistently because occasional understanding is unlikely to change entrenched anxiety responses. The emphasis on repetition is realistic. It explains why anxiety rarely disappears after one successful exercise and why progress may feel gradual. By connecting everyday actions to brain learning, the book makes anxiety reduction more concrete. Change is framed as practice-dependent conditioning, not as willpower or positive thinking. Thirdly, body-based calming skills target the physical alarm system of anxiety. Many of the book's practical skills focus on soothing the body because anxiety is not only a thought problem. Amygdala-driven fear often appears as physical activation, rapid breathing, tension, stomach discomfort, dizziness, heat, trembling, or restlessness. Pittman's approach treats these sensations as part of the alarm system, rather than as proof that something dangerous is happening. Skills such as controlled breathing, relaxation, mindful attention, and grounding help interrupt the escalation between bodily sensation and fear interpretation. The reasoning is that when the nervous system is highly aroused, complex thinking becomes less effective. The body first needs signals of relative safety. These techniques do not deny the reality of distress. Instead, they train the reader to influence arousal directly and to tolerate sensations without immediately avoiding or fighting them. This is especially useful for panic-prone readers because panic often intensifies when normal stress sensations are misread as threats. The body-based sections stand out because they connect simple exercises to the biological processes that make anxiety feel urgent. Fourthly, exposure and courageous action teach the brain that feared situations can be survived. The book gives significant importance to approaching rather than avoiding fear, because avoidance is one of the main ways anxiety maintains itself. When someone escapes a feared situation, relief follows quickly, and the brain learns that avoidance was protective. Over time, this can make the fear stronger and the person's life smaller. Pittman's exposure-oriented guidance is rooted in the idea that the amygdala learns through experience. it is not enough to tell the brain that a situation is safe. The brain must have repeated experiences of entering the situation and remaining there long enough to learn that catastrophe does not occur or can be tolerated. The book's discussion of courage is therefore practical rather than inspirational. Courage means acting while fear is present, not waiting until fear disappears. This is an important distinction, because many anxious people postpone action until they feel calm. The book instead encourages graded, repeated practice that gives the brain new evidence. Exposure is presented as a learning process, not as reckless confrontation. Lastly, cognitive strategies address worry, rumination, and threat-based interpretation. While the book pays close attention to the amygdala, it also treats the cortex as a major source of anxiety. Cortex-based anxiety often appears as what-if thinking, mental rehearsal, overanalysis, perfectionistic prediction, or repeated attempts to gain certainty. Pittman's cognitive strategies are designed to interrupt these processes by changing how readers relate to thoughts. The point is not to eliminate all anxious thinking, which would be unrealistic, but to reduce the authority given to thoughts that exaggerate danger or demand impossible certainty. Techniques such as reframing, evaluating predictions, redirecting attention, and recognizing rumination can reduce the feedback loop between thought and bodily arousal. This section is especially relevant for people whose anxiety is less about sudden panic and more about persistent mental noise. The book's strength is that it does not present cognition as the only route to change. Instead, it places thinking skills alongside body regulation and exposure. That balance helps readers identify whether a particular anxious episode needs a cognitive response, a physiological response, or behavioral practice. In conclusion, 50 Ways to Rewire Your Anxious Brain is best suited for readers who want practical anxiety tools grounded in a clear brain-based explanation. It may help people dealing with panic sensations, chronic worry, avoidance, and rumination, as well as clinicians who want accessible exercises to reinforce therapy concepts. Its practical benefit lies in helping readers match the skill to the anxiety pathway, calming the body when fear is physiological, challenging or redirecting thoughts when anxiety is cognitive, and using exposure when avoidance is reinforcing fear. Intellectually, the book gives readers a useful framework for understanding why anxiety can feel both irrational and convincing at the same time. Compared with many anxiety self-help books, it stands out for its concise skills format and its consistent link between technique and brain mechanism. It is less a broad philosophical treatment of anxiety and more a structured toolkit for repeated practice. Readers should not expect an instant cure or a replacement for professional care when anxiety is severe, but the book offers a realistic model of change. Its distinctive value is the combination of neuroscience clarity, practical exercises, and attention to both emotional alarm and anxious thought. If you would like to support Katherine M. Pittman, PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.